Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, in whom we have received the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. In this morning's gospel, after our Lord warns the disciples against causing little ones to sin, he issues another warning and series of instructions. He says this: pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. This evening, or this morning rather, we consider this text and the theme, forgiven and forgiving. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There was a news story this week that managed somehow to supplant all of the impeachment coverage and all of the fog and confusion coming out of D.C., and which shined a light on the theme of our text. It was the story of the younger brother of Bothan John, the young black man who was shot to death in his living room, in his apartment there in Dallas, Texas, by a white off-duty police officer named Amber Geiger. I'm sure many of you caught this story, right? This week, after Geiger was found guilty of murder, John's younger brother, Brant, at the victim statement portion of the proceedings, directly addressed Geiger, told her that he forgave her, urged her to give her life to Christ, and then asked if he could give her a hug. Needless to say, I don't think there was a dry eye in the courtroom. And in light of this morning's text and theme, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, what moved that young man to extend forgiveness to the woman who shot and killed his older brother? What is it that moves one person to extend that kind of radical forgiveness to another? Now, the short answer, of course, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Stated in terms of our theme, it is this: we Christians forgive because we've been forgiven. And that is the theme that I want us to explore together this morning. And the first thing we need to do is come to a clear understanding of this text. Verse 3 begins with a strong warning by our Lord. Pay attention to yourselves. Pay attention to yourselves. Now, while this warning no doubt follows from his teaching in verses 1 and 2 concerning causing those little ones to sin, it also marks a very clear transition into the theme that we are considering together. Our Lord is saying, in effect, listen up. Listen up. What I am telling you is important. It's important for you, right? Pay attention to yourselves, says our Lord. What Jesus is telling his disciples, what he is telling us gathered here this morning, has some profound implications for us. Has profound implications both for our relationships with one another as Christians and also for our relationship to the Lord God. Right? This theme of being forgiven and of extending forgiveness, it lies at the very heart of our faith and life as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. So pay attention, right? Pay attention to what, right? What is it that that is of such importance that our Lord issues that kind of warning, that kind of preface? Well, the first thing he tells us is this: if your brother sins, rebuke him. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Now, that kind of thing, rebuking, that kind of thing makes most of us a little uncomfortable. We kind of like people to like us, and we don't, generally speaking, want to run the risk of offending them and making them mad at us. But note here the kind of familial language that Jesus uses. If your brother sins, if your brother sins. Yeah, at the end of the day, the church is and is called to be a kind of family, dysfunctional though we are at times, right? We are the household and family of God. As a result of our baptism into Christ, we all have God as our Father, Jesus Christ as our elder brother, and one another as brothers and sisters in him, like it or not. We are stuck with one another in the church of Jesus Christ. And thus, we are called to have a proper care and concern for one another, right? When you and I see a brother or a sister pursuing some sinful course, or when they sin against us, we are called, as St. Paul says, to speak the truth to them. Speak truth to your neighbor, says Paul in Ephesians 5. We are called lovingly, truthfully, to call them to repentance, right? We're called to say to them, you know what, brother, sister, that thing that you said to me, that thing that you did to me, that wounded me, that offended me. Or, brother, sister, I know that that path that you're on seems right to you right now, but listen to what the Word of God says. And I'm urging you, I'm calling you to turn back to the Lord. Now, why do we do that, right? Why do we do that? Why do we rebuke our brother? Well, is it because we really want to stick it to him? Is it because we really enjoy shining a light on the faults and misdeeds of our brothers, picking that speck out of their eye? You know, if we're being really honest, which we ought to be as Christians, if we're being really honest, there are doubtless times when those thoughts do pass through our minds, do they not, when someone sins against you? And there are even times where maybe those thoughts kind of settle in to the heart for a minute, right? But you see, the real reason we call our brothers and sisters to repentance is so that they may actually be brought to repentance and experience forgiveness and restoration, right? Thus, the second thing our Lord says in verse 3 is, and if he repents, forgive him. The goal of calling attention to one another's sins, when we must do so, is so that those sins may be confessed and therefore forgiven. Confess your sins to one another, says St. James, and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's James chapter 5, verse 16. All right, this is what our small called articles, they're in the Book of Concord, this is what the small called articles calls the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren. When we confront one another like this, when we speak to one another like this, we are actually proclaiming the gospel to one another. And we are hearing and receiving the forgiveness of sins from one another. That's not something that only the pastor does. That's something that you can do one to the other in the context of daily life, right? And that's the goal. The goal is to see this restoration, right? That's the goal. But that's not necessarily easy, right? What happens? What happens when a brother or a sister sins against you time after time after time after time. What then? Well, our Lord addresses that question in verse 4. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Yes, you heard Jesus correctly. Even if your brother or sister, even if your husband, your wife, your father, your mother, your friend, your neighbor, your pastor, your elder, your fill in the blank, that person that the Lord has put in your life, even if they sin against you 7 times in the day, if they repent and seek your forgiveness, our Lord says that you are called to forgive them. You must forgive them. There's no wiggle room here, right? He doesn't say, you should really give it some thought. Put yourself in their shoes. Give it some thought and consider forgiving your brother or your sister. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. No, he says, you must forgive him. And it's not as even as if 7 is some kind of magic cutoff. The 8th time, you're free and clear. No. On another occasion, when our Lord was teaching on this same theme, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 18, and blessed St. Peter comes to the Lord, and he asks the Lord this, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? Is it up to 7 times, Lord? And then maybe I'm free? No. What does our Lord say to him? He says, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Now, what does our Lord mean by that? Here's a hint. He's not moving the goalpost from 7 times to 490. That's not what he's saying either. No, what is he saying? He means that as often as our brother or sister sins against us, we must be ready and willing to forgive. That's what he says. Now, perhaps at this point, you're thinking, Pastor, you don't know what so-and-so has said to me. Pastor, you don't know what so-and-so has done to me. And you know what? You're right. I don't know. But the Lord does, and this is the path down which he has called us to walk and to live as his disciples. And I will say this, extending forgiveness to someone does not clear or excuse them of the consequences of their actions, right? When Brant John said he forgave that Dallas police officer, that did not excuse or pardon her from her crime, and she ought to serve her time. When we extend forgiveness to one another, we're not saying it's all good in that sense. There are oftentimes consequences that need to be dealt with, justice that needs to be served. But in terms of our relationship with one another, I forgive you. I forgive you. That's what we're called to. Now, again, that's not easy. That's not easy. It's oftentimes hard, depending on the situation. And perhaps this explains the only time that the disciples speak in this morning's gospel reading. Perhaps you noted that as I read. The disciples only pipe up and speak one time, and it's right after our Lord's teaching in these verses, 1 through 4. In verse 5, we read this. Right after he says, 7 times a day, 7 times in a day, you must forgive him. The first words they say, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. All right, it seems clear that this request for more or stronger faith was in recognition of the fact that they weren't able to do what Jesus was calling them to do, right? This is essentially the apostles saying, help, Lord, help, Lord. You know, the apostles are essentially crying out for help, and it's ultimately this cry, this request for faith that unlocks how God enables us to extend forgiveness to one another, right? Consider the question, what is faith? What is faith? Faith is that which believes, which receives the promises of God. And what has God promised? Right? God promises many things, but his central promise to us is that our sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ. And it is faith in that promise that for the sake of Jesus Christ, on account of his saving death and resurrection, all your sins have been forgiven. Right? This was the promise that was given to you in your baptism. This was the promise that I declared to you in the absolution at the beginning of the service this morning. This is the promise that you will receive through our Lord's true body and blood and the sacrament of the altar this day. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, I stand here before you this morning to proclaim that promise. Your sins have been forgiven. All of your sins have been forgiven. Sins of the past, sins of the present, sins of the future, sins known to you and sins unknown to you, all of them have been forgiven. Our gracious Heavenly Father, for the sake of his dear Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, has forgiven you and has set you free from sin and death. And it is he, the one against whom you and I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, not seven times, not 70 times seven times, but continuously, day after day, hour after hour, minute by minute at times, right? It is he is the one who delights to forgive you your sins, who freely forgives, and it is he who is calling you to extend the same kind of forgiveness that you have received from him. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, right? And indeed, it is our daily experience of God's forgiving grace that frees us to forgive as we have been forgiven. And now, may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.